have an apology from Ms. Honorable Jelle, who is writing exams. We have an apology from Mr. Janzi, who is in the Magistrates Commission. Are there any other apologies? Secretariat, did you receive any other apologies except those ones?
Honorable Ndlozi.
Hello?
Ndlozi.
Oh. Honorable Ndlozi of the EFF. We received, in fact, we were advised that they have written to the speaker to make changes to their representation, but we're not sure whether it will be for the purposes of the DPP interviews or as a permanent change. I would prefer to stay in my lane. Honourable members, we agreed, I think it was last week, that we are going to use the improved bill that has been improved by the legal drafters. Welcome again. I think we have done a good job. We are going to use that improved bill. Today we are going to be going clause by clause, and possibly if we can finish, we can adopt the bill, so that if we finish today, we propose that the bill be debated on Tuesday, in the House on Tuesday, so that the NCOP will also have time to go through the bill. And we are in a position to meet the Concord judgment, the deadline of the Concord judgment. Is that agreeable, honourable members? Thank you. I think also honourable Swart is overstressed these days. He is also attending Portfolio Committee of Public Enterprises. He might be joining us late. Over to you, Legal Services.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, the bill that we have in front of us now, first page, top right-hand side, I would just like to confirm that it contains the reference Committee Bill 29 October 19 by EA Funding. So this is the amendment bill to the Promotion of Access to Information Act. On the second page, we have the long title of the bill, which explains to us what the content of the bill is, the amendment bill. Clause 1 of the bill aims to amend Section 1 of the Promotion of Access to Information Act by inserting words in the definition of head and also private body on the next page. And then Clause 1 also aims to insert a definition of political party, which is then a repetition of the definition contained in the Political Party Funding Act. We have explained to the committee, Mr. Chair, last week, that the aim is to have this or these amendments dovetail with the Political Party Funding Act. So, with regard to the definition then of head, the proposed amendment there is to clarify that where a private body is regarded as a natural person, we include reference to paragraph C of the definition of political party, and that is of course the independent candidates. And then a proposed new paragraph D to be inserted, to indicate that in the case of a political party, it's the leader of that political party or any person duly authorized by that leader. Then on page 3, as I said, the definition of political party is actually nothing else than a repetition of the definition contained in the Political Party Funding Act, with one one exception, and that is, of course, the reference to independent candidates. And then the definition of private body will also is also proposed to be amended by inserting the words or a new paragraph D, which refers to a political party. The substantive provision then, Mr. Chair, is contained in clause 2. I would just like to indicate, Mr. Chair, that we would like to insert a very small amendment. If you look at the heading of clause 2, insertion of section in of new section in Act 2 of 2000, we would just like to propose to be consistent with other amending pieces of legislation, to rather say insertion of new section and then insert 52A in Act 2 of 2000. So clause 2 then aims to introduce a new section 52 capital A in the Promotion of Access to Information Act. It's a very short provision, Mr. Chair, and we are of the view that the proposed amendment dovetails with the Political Party Funding Act. I would nearly be tempted to say perfectly, but I won't go there, Chair. And it's a short provision, so I'm going to read it word for word for you. The head of a political party must create and keep records of any donation exceeding the prescribed threshold that has been made to that political party in any given financial year, and the identity of the persons or entities who made such donations. The head of a political party must also make the records available on a quarterly basis as prescribed, and keep the records for a period of at least 5 years after the records concerned have been created. The proposed subsection 2 is a definition section, and for the purposes of this section, donation means donation as defined in section 1. Financial year means a financial year as defined in section 1. And prescribed threshold means the prescribed threshold contemplated in section 9(1)(a) of the Political Party Funding Act. Clause 3 is self-explanatory. We just need to amend the index to the Act to ensure that the new clause is reflected in the index. And then clause 4 represents our short title and commencement provision. It is necessary to provide for the President to determine the date of implementation, course of the fact that regulations will have to be made in connection with the availability of records. Chair, and that is in short the bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dupris. Honourable members, I think let's go clause by clause. I will recognize Honourable
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have no serious difficulty with anything except in clause 2. So, in 52, capital A, 1A, 1, reads any donation, comma, exceeding the prescribed threshold, comma, that has been made to that political party in any given financial year. In my view, those commas are superfluous and don't need to be there. It should just read any donation exceeding the prescribed threshold that has been made to the political party in any given financial year. I don't see any need for the comma. It's almost like putting it in brackets, and it shouldn't be. If I don't know if anyone else agrees.
Thank you very much, Honourable Dennis Breitenbach. That is on clause 2. I think you will take care of that.
Yes, Chief. Thank you.
Okay. Honourable Horn?
Yeah, Chair, as last week, I'm still on the definition. I don't know whether Mr. Dupree can just address us. In the absence of a or between subparagraphs A and B, it would create a difficulty for existing parties if it is interpreted as a...
Oh, you are in clause 1.
Clause 1, subclause B, the definition of political party, Chair.
Mr. Hank?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Please.
I don't want to become too technical. If you have a definition, and let's say you've got... No, let me rather just not go there and answer the question. Chair, when you have an or at the end of your second last paragraph, it means that all the paragraphs of that definition, or a provision for that matter, must be read disjunctively. So if you qualify under A, you qualify. If you qualify under C, you qualify. And same for paragraph B. I've explained to the committee last week, Mr. Chair, that you get it in older legislation where after each and every paragraph they inserted either an or an and. But I once came across an example where the first 5 subparagraphs were concluded with an or, and then the second last paragraph with an and then the cat is among the pigeons. So no, Chair, we read it disjunctively. If it was an and this is a technical aspect that I attempted to maybe indicate to you, is it doesn't matter whether in certain provisions, or for example, like this definition, it sometimes doesn't matter whether you use an or an and, because the paragraphs are mutually exclusive, but we read it disjunctively and not conjunctively if there was an and at the end of paragraph B. Hopefully, Chair, I've answered the question.
Honourable Hon. Is it an issue of style, or was there a legal problem with how you did it?
Mr. Chair, I'm going to ask my colleague to also come in here, because I don't want to be the only one being hunted at some stage. As I explained, in older legislation, you had either your disjunctives or your conjunctives at the end of each and every paragraph. But the bottom line is, Mr. Chair, that when you break a definition or a provision up in sub-paragraphs, you actually have one long sentence. And you read that long sentence. And as you come across the qualifying criteria in your long sentence, then you qualify as a political party. But you read your sub-paragraphs disjunctively. So we can insert an or after paragraph A, but then we are going back to archaic drafting style, which we would like to prevent, because all our legislation, I can provide you with many, many examples, where we only have the disjunctive or the conjunctive at the end of the second last paragraph. Mr. Chair, I don't know whether my colleague would like to add, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Just to add to what my colleague is saying also, if you put an end in the second last paragraph, it would mean for you to be a political party, you must meet all those kind of requirements. But if you put an or, you are saying a political party can be an entity, or a political party can be a party with representation in the National Assembly, or a national person who is an independent candidate. But if you put an end, it means you're actually saying that to be a political party, you must be an entity that accepts donations, you must be a party with the representation in the NA, you must also be an independent candidate. So the or is kind of saying that one of those definitions apply to you if for you to be considered a political party. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
No, okay, I accept that, but still just to say, as I understand the Electoral Act, there's no way you will be a party who have representation in the legislature or a council without being registered, as is alluded to in subparagraph A. So even if we accept that it is to be read as an all, it still creates a bit of let's say, a loophole or a question mark as to why then differentiate between parties who are represented in legislatures and councils and parties who are registered with the IEC. So I understand we incorporate the definition as from the other act, but and we're not rewriting that act now, but my argument is still that I don't see the need for subparagraph A and B to be there, and next we will see all sorts of very complex and lofty arguments in court as to the intention of the legislature.
Are you done? Okay. Honourable Rittenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to support Mr. Horn's argument. I can see no reason why there should be an A and a B, and that the semicolon can just be removed and put in an or, and it can be one A. So it can just be A and B. There's no need for three subsections.
Mr. Chair, listen, I'm going to ask during the course of this meeting only for 5 minutes adjournment so that I can check the facts again. I read, and I'm speaking under correction, I'm reading paragraph A as any entity. Now that means not yet registered, that accepts donations principally to support or oppose any registered political party in an election as defined in section 1 of the Electoral Act. Now section 1 of the Electoral Act refers to paragraph B as well, so it includes that paragraph. So as I explained to you, Chair, right, let me leave it at that. I think we need a response.
If I may, that makes it even worse, because then we're back at my arguments of last week, where we say then, technically speaking, and I won't use the EFF again, but let's say now, people who have left political parties in the last week set up a new political party. Then in terms of this definition, for now, they will not be obliged to keep records, because they don't have representation in legislature or council. Only an entity who accepts donations on their behalf, which I think, if I may say, the way I read this bill, is aimed then at let's say, fronting organisations who assist political parties in terms of fundraising, that to close that loophole of what the Americans call super PACs. So you have people who, on your behalf, raise a whole lot of money, create ads, run a campaign on your behalf, but they're not you. So that's what the entity is talking about. But then, if that is the case, we're at the situation now where if a new political party is set up today, until the moment they have elected representatives in a council, municipal council, or a provincial legislature or national parliament, there's no obligation on them to keep record. And that can't be what we want to achieve. I mean, we can have a new political party who within the space of weeks or months take away support from all political parties and in terms of polling and support run at 40 or 50% and then they're not obliged to keep record, whilst those who are currently in the legislatures do.
Honourable members, can we allow Mr. Dupree accede to his request after we have dealt with the other provisions? We give him the 5 minutes, because we think that the issues that are being raised are quite weighty. To be fair to him, I think we should grant him, in fact them, their wish to further consult and come back to us before we conclude the matter. So, and then I think in the meantime we can go to other clauses of the bill.
Okay.
Honourable Mohammed?
No, Chair, it goes on this. I will rather wait for when we come back on in close to. It goes on that.
Okay. And then clause, any other clause that we would want to raise an issue with? So can I take it that that was the main clause? Honourable Mohammed?
Just to indicate we are quite satisfied with the bill as it is presented, because we believe it's consistent with what the court intended. We must be very careful to ensure that we don't overreach our...
Honourable Mohammed? Yes.
Oh, sorry. I was saying that we're satisfied that the inconsistencies originally pointed out by the court, in my accounts, is covered in this draft, that we must just be careful not to be over-sophisticated in our use of language. And thirdly, as per all other judgments in similar drafting, where Parliament has been given a chance to correct, the minimalist as to what the intention of the court is quite clear in the judgment, that we are only to provide for the transparency principles of preserving records, identifying of funders, the reasonable disclosure, what's practical possible, and all of that has now been complied. I think the point was made by the advisor that there's the other principal act that will have to be looked at with regard to other matters, and there will be an opportunity for that. But as far as this one is concerned, for us, it's consistent with the judgment. That's the important part. Thank you.
Honourable members, are we happy with the bill, except the clarifications that we will come back to in clause 2? But we are happy with the other clauses. Okay. Let me rule as follows. Let's have a 20-minute break, because we currently, we do not form a quorum. The whips... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, okay. Okay. Yes, no. No, we are fine. No, we do form a quorum. Thank you for the correction. Can we break for 10 minutes then? Can we break for 10 minutes so that we allow Mr. Hank and the team to do their consultations? If they are not done within that 10 minutes, we'll extend to 20, but not more than that, so that we can finalize the bill today. Thank you. Comfort break again.